Thanks, Shaun, and good morning, everyone. Look, a big thanks to Cedar for the chance to talk this morning. I'm sure you'll agree, Cedar do a great job, and I would regard them as one of the leading representative organizations in Queensland at the moment. However, it would be remiss of me while I'm here if I did not talk about one of the other leading representative organizations, and that is, of course, Property Council of Australia, of course. Just so you know who we are, where we're coming from. We have about 2,500 member companies nationally, 350 in Queensland, ranging from Australia's largest institutions, private property investors, and crucial service providers to the industry. Our members are the owners, developers, investors, and managers in the broad range of what we call the property sector. Controlling, well, it was over $320 billion of assets nationally. That's dropped dramatically in recent times. In Queensland, we just to put things in perspective in terms of the property industry compared to other sectors, we contribute around $25 billion annually to the Queensland's gross state product. And that's compare that to the next largest, which is manufacturing, which is about $19 billion, mining at $16 billion. Employ over 300,000 people. Again, that's been dropping in recent times. 14% of Queensland's full-time employees. And we also, unfortunately, make a very significant contribution to the Queensland's total tax take, around about 43%. Okay, I'm going to talk, and I realise that we are running out of time here, but I want to talk very briefly about four main issues. And my speaking instructions this morning from Dave were to talk about what's holding Brisbane back in terms of a development and property perspective. We've got four topics there: valuation system and taxation, planning and land supply, development assessment system, and infrastructure financing. I actually had a fifth there, Brennan, and that was about climate change and sustainability, and I want to talk about that, but I had to cut that because of timing, but anyway, we can talk about that later. Okay, property taxation and valuation. There's a few issues that we believe are holding Brisbane back in terms of the land valuation system. The process itself, the land valuation system, as we believe, is quite uncertain and subjective. And because of that, in Queensland now, we have a process that is subject to repeated and costly legal challenges. At the moment, the level of confidence of the property industry in the state's valuation service is at an all-time low. We are constantly in court with them, disputing improved values. And we've got the situation now where we've got the weird situation where unimproved values are increasing at a greater rate than the market increases over recent times. Further, we have a pretty erratic process where the state randomly revalues properties based upon a set of very elusive and fluid criteria. The system itself offers a great deal of uncertainty in terms of delivering a clear business environment for Brisbane moving forward. It does need serious change. The other issue to talk about is transfer of stamp duty. And again, this is another issue that we believe is holding Brisbane back. And despite all states and territories agreeing to its abolition in the 99 intergovernmental agreement, and in the face of significant GST growth, this tax is in place, and the property sector paid around about $3.2 billion last year. It's going to be a lot less this year, I can tell you. Transfer duty, we believe, impacts on overall land affordability, and we believe that sooner that an alternative form of financing the state's activities, sooner it can be found, the better. So in terms of solutions, in terms of moving Brisbane forward, we're seeking that we believe that we need to eliminate commercial stamp duty soon, eliminate stamp duty on all new residential developments. And again, it's important to acknowledge that the state government has moved quite well in that direction, in that for first-time buyers, stamp duty is not payable in the first $500,000. That's a really positive thing. We do need to phase out land tax over the next decade. The controversial one, I suppose, is abolish that part of the state government that undertakes the valuation system at the moment. We don't think it's working, and we want a new independent valuation entity. And we need to ensure that land valuations undertaken in growth regions, including Brisbane, every year, no exception. Planning and land supply. We've heard from Alison talking about some of the growth issues, so I want to touch on some of the issues around planning and land supply. I want to focus, and I suppose when you're talking about planning and land supply, you can't just focus on Brisbane without talking about the broader southeast Queensland region and vice versa. Two things. We believe that the southeast Queensland regional plan, which is a good initiative, however, unfortunately, it's not going to provide sufficient land for housing, industrial, commercial and retail activities we need for Brisbane and SEQ's future growth. That's the first thing. And second thing, a more sort of micro issue, is that the planning scheme amendment process currently under IPA is holding back the development of SEQ and Brisbane, and we need to put in place processes to speed that up. In terms of the SEQ regional plan and land availability, we believe that the population targets and assumptions in the plan are unrealistic, and further that they're currently not being met. And I suppose to put that in perspective, the original 2005 SEQ regional plan predicted over 1 million extra people in the 20 years from 2006, with half of those, so around about 500,000, being housed in new infill development in existing suburbs. So I'm talking about SEQ here, not just Brisbane. To put this in perspective, and some of you have heard these stats before, this would require the construction each year of 104 20-storey towers for the next 20 years. So we're talking about the addition of around about 2,100 additional high-rise towers over the next 20 years to deliver those sort of infill targets. We don't believe that that's happening at the moment. We don't believe those figures are being met. However, there is no real accurate data on that at this stage. And importantly, I think it's important, since the commencement of that plan, the latest figures show that the predicted population growth in southeast Queensland is even going to be greater than the original million people. On the planning scheme amendment issue, our viewers of the planning system at the moment, that's quite a clunky and it's quite slow to change. And the planning schemes really should be quite a dynamic thing, and they are at the moment. It takes around about, roughly, depending on the council, it takes around about 3 years to get a planning scheme amendment through. It involves very detailed and lengthy community consultation processes and lengthy consideration by both levels of government. I suppose it's important to recognise that community engagement processes are critical. Without effective community engagement, you cannot go forward effectively. At the moment, we believe that process is taking a little too long. And we've got the situation now in West End is a great example, where we've got at the regional plan through this state government policy being reflected and saying that we want high density living. At the Brisbane City Council has expressed through various policy documents the view that it would prefer high density living in West End. But at the moment, the planning scheme has not yet caught up, and it's taking some time to change that planning scheme. So we've got this delay factor where we've got clear policy being set at a higher level for higher density living, but the planning scheme amendment process, for a whole range of reasons, really isn't responding to those policy goals. So again, those comments up there, we think we need to really start focusing on infill development rates. Our view is that they're not being met. I think the whole issue about high density living, if we are serious about infill development, delivering accommodation and working places indeed for future population growth for Brisbane, we've got to be serious about promoting the benefits of high density and inner city living. At the moment, you see a lot of ads on TV about various political parties, but you don't see a lot selling the benefits of inner city living and high density living to the broader community, and that's something we need to focus on. If we can't resolve those infill targets and actually meet those infill targets, well, it will mean that we're going to have to actually change some of those greenfield targets, some of those boundaries to the regional plan. And finally, we think that the 12 months would be more than long enough to amend the planning scheme. Some say it should be shorter. Okay, development assessment. Let's move on to that very quickly. Now, it's going to be hard for me to do this and see. Hands up those people in the room who've had anything to do with a development assessment or lodged a development assessment under IDAS in the last, say, the last 5 to 8 years. Anyone lodged them? A few? How many would keep your hands up if you would view that process as a timely, efficient and easy process? Yeah, I mean, look, there is a Mr. Rowe down the back here, good on you. He would be with us. Yeah, look, I think there is a widely held view that the development assessment system is quite a complex process. And I think, it's now 11 years old, and I think, unfortunately, most people who have anything to do with IDAS often begin to think fondly and reminisce about the good old days under the previous Act. The IDAS concept is actually a really good concept. The whole one-stop-shop coordinated response is a good concept. But the reality of the delivery of what we've got now hasn't really been, I think, for most people, what they intended. It doesn't really provide great certainty, nor does it provide a quick and efficient assessment system. The system, as it's currently set up, stretches the resources of both local government and the state. Councils and various state agencies devote huge amounts of resources simply to processing applications. In a recent survey of our members, there is a view, and this is a subjective view, that applications are now taking around about 25% longer than they did a decade ago. And that is a subjective view, I admit that. But there is that clear view coming through that the system is not working as people thought it may. Also, we believe that under the current system, there is a lack of any incentive for government bodies to meet statutory timeframes. One of the benefits of IDAS was that we were going to have timeframes, and if they were met, we'd get a more efficient system. It varies from council to council, but you know, in some, the norm is, unfortunately, those timeframes aren't being met. The big concern for us, I suppose, is holding costs. The longer an approval is with council, the more costly it is. And that's impacting on housing affordability and commercial development costs. I suppose it's important to note, I mean, today we're talking about Brisbane, that the Brisbane City Council has taken some very proactive steps in this regard, particularly over the last 12 months. The DA Improvement Program, which they're running with now, is a great initiative. RiskSmart is also a very good initiative. And also some of the direct efforts made by the political at the political level in terms of cultural change in the organisation are also very positive. So again, some simple things in terms of moving Brisbane forward. Rapidly expand the scope of BCC's RiskSmart process. It's a good thing. The controversial one, number two, and for any of those in government, and I've been there, I know how you're thinking, how you're looking at this. Maybe we should actually trial a deemed approval for a 12-month period and see if it actually starts addressing some of the issues with the system. It may not work, but we've had 11 years of the other system. Maybe it's time for it to try something different. Maybe we should start again, and I hesitated to put that up there. Maybe we should seriously consider going back and starting again. Keep on refining what we've got, but maybe we actually should sit down and start reinventing this whole thing, this whole planning and development assessment system. So maybe would be a big step. Finally, I wanted to talk very quickly about infrastructure financing. A couple of issues there. I want to talk about infrastructure charges, PPPs, and another concept, tax increment financing. First of all, infrastructure charges. Our view that while they are widely used, infrastructure charges are generally regarded as one of the most inefficient funding mechanisms available to fund infrastructure. Repeated research shows that there are better ways to do it, in particular, government debt utilisation that is far the better. However, they continue to be politically popular, as they are incorrectly seen in our view as a developer charge. Debt financing is shown to improve economic growth and increase jobs, and that would be a far better way to go. PPPs, after debt financing, PPPs are probably viewed as also an effective method of funding infrastructure. However, the state government's current approach to the PPP model does tend to move too much of the risk to the private sector, and there is a need to actually rebalance that. And also the tendering process, for those in the room who've had any experience with that, know that it's a very expensive process. Finally, tax increment financing. Some of you will be aware of the concept. It's a US concept. We believe it offers an alternative funding mechanism to traditional approaches taken in Australia. Because of time limitations, I won't go into the detail, but tax increment financing or TIF to move Brisbane forward, increased use of public debt, probably a decreased reliance on upfront infrastructure charges, looking at tax increment financing, and rethink some of the approaches to PPPs. I'll finish up there, and I think we'll move to some questions, I think. Thank you.